Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Well, it's been a while, and I'm just going to quickly explain where I have been for the last 4 months. I know a lot of people are like, what happened to Katie? I haven't been here since April. I've been on a slight sabbatical. I'm going to get through this without crying. My 9th of May, my dad died suddenly of a heart attack. We got the 11:30 phone call from my sister, and my sister is a typical police officer, so I know when she goes in policeman mode, something is very wrong, and she said, I need you to sit down. I need Kerry next to you. And I need you to just stay calm. And I was like, ah, I know that moment. My mum has early onset dementia, so we thought it was my mum. But my dad just passed away suddenly, getting ready for bed, gone in a second. So I've had a bit of a sabbatical, and I am very grateful for that, church, for letting me have that time out. Pam has been incredible texting me every day. She's been my, are you still there? How are you doing? How's the grief? Anyone know that grief is a journey up and down. I have good days and bad days, but I just want to say the community of God is invaluable. Do not do this journey on your own. I have never felt so alone. I'm single and now I've lost pretty much my mum and dad. My mum doesn't really know what's going on. So the church has been my family and Pam has been my family for the and Kate and all these beautiful people. But I've got a word for you this morning. Are you ready? I'm so excited to be back and talking about money. I did do Upper North Shore and I got to talk on Our Father and I cried the whole way through. Somebody on the preaching roster, which is myself, should have picked that Father campaign is probably not the best one to do when you've just lost your dad. I was like, the whole time Tyler and Em were beautiful. I now go to the Lower North Shore. We really felt to go to the Lower North Shore and help Jesse and Eloise. So Kerry and I are there now every week champion. Those guys are doing such a great job. Can I just say, I'm so excited to see these young guys come through. So we are standing with them. But I just want to read Matthew 6:24. Today I'm going to talk about stewardship. It's about thriving. Next week, I think it's Dan. Are you on next week? The week after is about tithing. So it's about lordship. And then we're talking about generosity. Now, in relation to money, something is going to be your passion. Whether it is social justice, so something like generosity really just gets you giving, whether it's the understanding of a tithing and it's systematic and it's structural and you like the kind of completeness of the tithe. Here at C3 SYD, we are under the Abrahamic covenant. So in relation to tithing, Pastor Al's going to explain this next week, that we do agree that we're not under the law. So the blessings and cursings and all of that sort of stuff is not what we are teaching. We are teaching an Abrahamic template. What does that mean? That Abraham faith guy that said, I'm going to honor God with my wealth. That template that he put in place is what we champion. Because I want to be that person. Anyone else? I want to be that person that has that beautiful element of faith in my giving. Because I think giving sometimes can and have such a restriction on your heart. And it's anxious and it's fear and it's offense. And I want to talk to your heart this morning. Matthew 6:24, we're talking about the understanding of stewardship. Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Basically, the image in this text is something is going to own you, and it cannot be money and God. It can't be both. Because here in the first century, that understanding of serving your master meant that your master owned everything about you. Think of Gladiator. Think of that early moment where he's a slave and the owner and the master has every right over his body, over his mind. And you've got to understand that you cannot be consumed with money and consumed with God. It's pretty clear. Then they're antithetical. They're two paths. But what can happen is we've really got to get a hold of our heart because money is something that is so ingrained in our society and so ingrained in us that sometimes our heart can kind of just get really obsessed with it. Anyone else? You're thinking about the mortgage 24/7. You're thinking about, and what I want to talk to you about today is who is Lord of your heart? Who's Lord? Because there are things that God gets me to do, and sometimes when I say, I don't want to do that, it's an issue of lordship. Anyone had that moment? Where he's like, no, I'm in charge, Kate. Recently, you know, through the path that I've been on, I've had to forgive a lot of people, and there were days where I'm like, I don't want to. And he's like, I'm in charge, forgive. Why? Not because he's being a master over me and controlling over me, because he knows what's good for me. He's a good Lord. So I want to sit in Luke 19, 11 to 27. I'm going to read a parable. And as I'm reading this parable, it's what a parable does. It's a kind of slapping you across the head and in a nice way. So if you do feel a little bit of a, that's okay. Welcome to the parables. So Luke 19, 11 to 27. As they heard these things, he proceeded to tell a parable. You can kind of imagine the disciples at this moment going, we know what these stories are about now. You know, it's like, these aren't bedtime stories. Because he was near to Jerusalem, and because this is the why he's saying it, they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. He's teaching them and saying, hey guys, this is going to delay a little bit. What do I do in the meantime? What do I put my hand to? Do I put my hand to just building my own life and doing my own thing? And he's like, I need to get these guys focused, because when I go, I'm going to go for a while. And when he comes back, what will he find us doing? That's what this is all about. He said, therefore, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas and said to them, engage in business until I come. Underline that. He's like, don't waste this opportunity. Even though I'm not there to monitor you, even though I'm not there, I'm not going to micromanage you. He's like, keep busy. But his citizens, note that, hated him. It was a condition of their heart. And sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. When he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by doing business. I remember reading this before, thinking, oh, this guy's a tyrant. This guy's, I mean, by the end, you're like, I really don't like this guy. Nowhere in this parable does this parable tell us that he's a bad king. He's a good king. He's giving them keys and money in the kingdom. He's saying, I am giving you this responsibility. What are you going to do with it? It's not money that they've earned. It's money that they're stewarding. Can you see that? The first came before him saying, Lord, your miner has made 10 miners more. And he said, well done, good servant, because you've been faithful in very little. You shall have authority over 10 cities. And the second came saying, Lord, your miner has made 5 miners. And he said to him, and you are to be over 5 cities. Then another came saying, Lord, here is your miner, which I kept under the mattress. No, laid away in a handkerchief. Basically terrified. Why did he do that? For I was afraid of you. Condition of the heart. Because you are a severe man. You take what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. What does that mean? He's basically saying, you don't need me to do it. You've got enough. There was something in his heart that was saying, this way towards the king. He said to him, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, and at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by him, take the miner from him and give it to the one who has the 10 miners. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 miners. I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But as for these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before a king. And then he becomes a king. As I was reading this again and again, God has been petitioning on my heart the understanding of stewardship. I have just completed my degree. Unfortunately, 5 weeks after my dad died, my due date for my PhD set, and I did it. I put it on hold. I was like, suck it up, princess. Just get this done. My supervisors are like, you do have enough to, you know, your dad's died. You can defer. And I was like, nope, we are not deferring this thing. But there was this element in that journey of having to just work 2 days a week and do full-time PhD. So for the last 3 years, I've been on 2 days income. And it's been incredibly hard. But let me tell you, as I have set God first, as I have been unshakable on the principles that I find and I have studied, as I have been unshakable on giving to the house of God and giving to vision builders and giving, miracles have happened. It's been crazy. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm watching bills come in and then I'm watching the money come in. I'm watching people ring up and say, God's just told me to sponsor you. And I'm like, yes, thank you. Like, now I'm going back into an income. I want to be that to other people. See, number one, the goal of our money is stewardship, not ownership. When you are stewarding something, the responsibility is not on you. When you are owning it, you're looking at the mortgage, you're looking at the bills. Do you feel that sense of ownership? You are responsible for this. But if I get the understanding that I am stewarding something that God has given me and He is in charge, He is the source of all my income, all I've got to do is just be faithful for what is in my hand, my anxiety lifts. If this morning your heart is burdened with money, if this morning your heart is overwhelmed with your mortgage or your rent or putting food on the table, let me tell you, there is one higher than you that is owning it. It's His money. And He can give it to you and He will get it to you. I know that as I am getting this understanding that the goal of my money is stewardship, not ownership, it's a beautiful freedom that comes. I know that there's some battle about control, and if you've got a battle about control, then have that chat with the Lord. But in relation to control, I'm loving that right now, Father God is taking care of us. And it's really quite beautiful. 1 Corinthians 16:2, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. As you are stewarding it, you're not just blowing it. You need to save. You need to ask God what you're giving. You need to ask God who you're giving it to. And I love this moment where every week I'm giving, setting aside a set income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. God reminded me the other day of joy of my first pay packet. Does anyone remember that? This is my first pay packet. It was a yellow envelope and it had cash in it. That's how old I am. And I remember getting it and I remember thinking, oh my gosh, this is the money that God has given me. I need to steward it really well, because my grandparents instilled in me that money comes from God and you are just stewarding it. So I remember sitting down in Westfields. I'd just come out of my job and I was like, okay, I'll give 10%. So it was a $2 note at that time. And I put that aside. And then I said to God, God, can I go and lay by some jeans? Anyone remember lay by? And He's like, yeah, go and lay. So I lay by hot pink jeans, people. Come on, 16-year-old, God love me. But I remember going home and I got this revelation that I should give some to my parents. So I end up going home and giving some, and I didn't have much left. But I remember God was reminding me the joy of having that understanding that I'm stewarding His money. Because the thing about this parable, guys, is when He comes back, we do actually have to give an account of what we've done, because it's His kingdom and His money. That's where ownership hits the road, doesn't it? So number one, practical thing. First and foremost, my money is to seek God's kingdom first. Matthew 6:33-34, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I love the security of knowing I'm a direct debit person in relation to my giving. I give direct debit just so that it goes into the bank and I know that I'm good. It's kind of like a tick. But I love that sense that when that goes in there and I know that God will bless the rest. Anyone feel that security? Let me tell you a cheeky story. I'm going to tell my calendar story. I don't have much time, but I'm going to say. I remember we were praying and I said to God, I really want a holiday. And I'd been an EA at this church for a while. And so holidays were church income. It's a bit hard. Let's just say that. And I was looking at my income and I was like, you know what? If I stop giving to the church, I reckon I could save up for a really good holiday. And I was thinking, you know, I could probably do this or that. And God said, no, keep that in place. That's a pylon that goes deep into the ground. That's not negotiable. Like prayer, worship, the word, that's not negotiable. That's under your feet. And I said, okay. I said, can you do a miracle? And He said, yep, I'll do a miracle. He said, dream of your trip. And I was like, okay, well, I want to do this. And then He's like, no, dream bigger. And I'm like, all right, game on. I said, I want to go Fairmont's for 6 weeks. Cheeky girl. I'm like, Fairmont's for 6 weeks. And I left it with him. I kid you not, I'm on the computer and he said, just go on the Fairmont website and just pretend. And I was like, okay, I'll pretend I'm wealthy, okay? So I went on there. I booked a six-week Fairmont Canada trip, 6 weeks for $3,000. It was 75% off all accommodation that day. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm calling Kerry going, I don't know what I'm booking, but I think I just booked Christmas in Banff. And I'm booking all this, it comes through. Every time we turned up, I would present the thing to the lady at the Banff and she'd go, you paid what? And I'm like, I'm a giver. Yes, I am. Miracles, miracles. Could Katie Haldane ever afford that? No. But when God is in charge, God is in charge. And I love that sense. So seek first his kingdom. He will provide your daily needs. Don't need to worry about that. Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs. It's a confident yes. Lastly, to abound in every good work, you are not a terminal, you are a station, God says to me all the time. The blessing of God is like a train for me. It comes in and it will not remain at Katy Town. What does that mean? It's not a terminal. The blessing of God does not remain with me. I take what I need and then I pass it on. Why? Because 2 Corinthians 9:8 says this, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things and at all times, having all that you need, don't put a full stop there, it's a comma, you will abound in every good work. What does that mean? He's going to provide for me, but it's not a terminal. It doesn't stop with me. It's a station. It's got to go and abound in every good work. So secondly, the key to stewardship is lordship. I want to talk to your heart this morning. Did you notice in the parable it says, but his citizens hated him and sent out a delegation. We do not want this man to reign over us. Money is the hardest thing in relation to lordship. What does that mean? If money is something that you are wrestling with God about, then it's a lordship issue. Who's in charge? I love here in 1 Corinthians 3:9, it says, for we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field and God's building. God owns it. Do you remember the story that Pastor Phil used to tell when he bought Joe Pringle a bucket of chips from McDonald's? Does anyone remember this? And he provided the money, bought Joe the bucket of chips and gave it to him. Halfway through eating, he grabbed two chips and Joe went, Dad! And he was like, I paid for those chips. It's my money and I'm asking for two back. And God quickened to his spirit and said, that's what you do to me every week. It's my money, I'm Lord. And there's this beautiful sense of not a Lord that's dominating you, but a Lord that is giving you something that he wants you to steward to bless you. I love in 1 Chronicles 29, 11-12, this is the scripture that is over all of my giving at the moment. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. I know that Proverbs 3 says, honor the Lord with your wealth. If this morning the battle in relation to giving is a lordship issue, then have a chat to the Lord about it. Talk to him about it. Third, the heart of stewardship is trust and worship. Don't disconnect this giving moment as a moment of, okay, now this is where I have to just give and it's just comply. No, this is worship. This is the moment where we trust our Father. The greatest thing that has happened through this time of losing my dad is a year before God was having me study Father. And I was like, oh, okay. And he's like, I need you to study Father again. And I was like, I don't really want to study Father again. I'm bored. Can I move on? He's like, I need you to study. You're not getting it. I need you to study the security of I am your Father. I need you to know that you are safe, that I am in charge. I need you to know that I will provide for you as Father. And I'm going through it for a year and I'm like, God, please let me move on. And then my dad dies. And I feel this overwhelming sense of now the rubber hits the road, Kate. This is what I've been teaching you for the last year. I know without a doubt that your Father will provide for you. I know without a doubt that he knows the desires of your heart. I know without a doubt, single mums, that he knows what you have to go through to put food on the table. And I know without a doubt that he will provide for you as you trust in him. Because Proverbs 3:5 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Now, this is not just about our life. This is about everything. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. You're not going to figure it out for yourself. I look at some bills and I'm like, I'm glad you're in charge because I don't know about this mess. Anyone? I'm glad. I'm going to do everything I can to be a good steward. I'm going to save. I'm going to give. I'm not going to throw the money around. I'm going to be a good steward, but I'm glad that you're in charge. It says, fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. If you were here this morning and you are wrestling with this understanding of giving, then turn it into a moment of worship. Just disengage that offense. Sometimes fear, you think you're offended, but what it is a ball of fear. So have you ever had a conversation with somebody and you can hear the words coming out of your mouth, but the Holy Spirit's telling you what's in their heart? Sometimes when I talk about God with money and I'm like, I don't have enough. And you've got me doing this PhD and I'm working for the church and I don't have enough. And I'm getting offended at him. But what is in the core of my heart is fear. And I remember I was having that prayer moment and he said, fear not. I am with you. So this morning I would ask that maybe there's an element of worship that we need to get. For the goal of stewardship is discipleship. As I was reading this story, I was like, these guys have a great deal. They get given this money. It's not their money. They're whinging at their boss. Imagine you going back to your boss going, do I have to work for you? Do I have to? They go back. The king gives them the money. It's not, they didn't earn it. Hands them the money. And then when they're good stewards of that money, he doesn't give them just more money. He gives them authority in the kingdom. It's not about you learning this principle just to be wealthy in yourself. That's not what this is about. This is about discipleship. It's beyond that. If you're wrestling with giving this morning, then welcome to being a disciple. Because I've wrestled with him. I'm an academic, so we're having the tithe conversation and I'm wrestling with the scriptures in relation to it and how am I doing this and what does this mean? And I'm hearing all the debates and I've done that wrestle. Maybe you need to do that wrestle. But it wasn't a wrestle to convince me. I felt like it was a wrestle to disciple me. It was that moment where he's saying, Katie, if I can get you to understand this, I can give you authority in the kingdom. And I love it where Luke 16:10 says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. The scariest scripture I want to look at is 1 Timothy 6:10. It says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Don't let money consume your heart. Post-COVID, I feel like that there is this thing that has come in to all of our lives and we've had to just rebuke it, this sense of I'm not going to have enough and I'm not going to, what happened, you know, I need more toilet paper, whatever it is. I've never been so concerned about toilet paper in all my life. I looked at my cupboard the other day, I have 40 rolls of toilet paper. It's like a COVID thing. But I don't want that in my heart anymore. Anyone else? You're looking at your heart and you're saying, Lord, take this. Some people, band, come on up. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. He's not doing this. He's not doing this to harm you. When we're talking about money, and I love the fact that we're talking money about this church. In this church, our goal for you is to know Jesus, find community, discover purpose. But in the discipleship moment, there is a moment where we are being discipled in Christ in relation to our hearts, in relation to our tithes, in relation to our what money we give, vision builders, in relation to our gifts, in relation to our time. I've just turned 50. God love me. 2 weeks before my dad died. Turned 50, then it all kind of went really bad. But now I'm on the other side of it. I said to God, okay, I've got another... What do you reckon, folks? Let's say for 50. Oh my gosh. I got another 50 years. You see me up here preaching. Young, we will stop. Are we blaming the youth by that stage? But I have had this revelation afresh that I just want to pour my life out for Christ. whatever he does. I don't know whether I'm having a midlife crisis. I don't know what I'm having, but I am having this fresh revelation that you have my everything. If you want my money, take my money. If you want my heart, take my heart. Why? Because he's discipling you for greater things.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.